Well, good morning. Good to see everyone. Well, I hope you liked that song because that is the theme of our word today. So in a group this big, of all these people, we've got a lot of experiences, a lot of journeys we've been on. And you know, if you talk to anyone in this room, you would probably hear some great life stories. Some of those stories might be great stories, but all might not seem good at face value. You see, sometimes we don't get to choose where life takes us. We face challenges every day, and some are harder than others. In fact, many people that don't even believe in God start praying for miracles. But what are miracles anyway? We hear the term thrown around all the time, but what is the definition of a miracle? Well, my dad, when he used to preach, looked things up and defined things in Webster's dictionary to find that definition. So, Pa, this one's for you. According to Webster's dictionary, a miracle, get ready, is an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. Well, you might ask, well, what's divine intervention? Let's go back to Webster's dictionary. The dictionary defines it as of, relating to, or proceeding directly from God. In a dictionary. So look at that. An extraordinary event manifesting from God in human affairs. You see, miracles are by definition extraordinary or unlikely. The world tells you, don't wait for miracles. Don't wait on anyone. If you can't make it happen, it's not going to happen. The world believes you have to do it within yourself to make it a reality. Well, many times that is true. You know, we have to put a lot of effort in accomplishing things in life. School isn't easy. Who's been a student? It takes hard work and diligence, right? Jobs and a successful career takes perseverance. Building a great life takes enormous work. But the reality is, some situations we face, we just can't change the outcome of. No matter how hard we try. Like when a student that has worked hard their entire adolescent life doesn't get accepted to the college they want. Or a young couple that can't afford a house. With interest rates and high down payments in early careers, it seems like an impossible thing. How about the family where the main wage earner loves their job, thinks it's secure until it isn't, and then they're laid off? Or how about enormous debt or financial hardship that seem impossible to turn around? Maybe you're that person that wants to get married, but you still can't find the one you were meant to be with. Or maybe for some, careers, finances, family aren't a problem. But you just found out you have a terminal disease, you have cancer, and you don't have long to live. How about a long-term broken relationship that shows no signs of restoration? How about regrets you wish you could take back? Or maybe in our search for success, we find everything we need, materially speaking. But there's still something missing, and you can't figure out how to get it. All these things can hit us in life. Here's a French proverb. You often meet your fate on the road you take to avoid it. Isn't that the truth? You will encounter things you never thought of. Usually at this point, we're at our wit's end. We've tried everything, but nothing has worked. See, this is where things don't work the way the world tells you it will. Self-will does not create success. We've tried it, and we're out of options. I've tried eating right and exercise, but my problems don't leave. I've tried being more positive, but the glass isn't half empty. There's no water left in the glass. We've tried meditation, but anxiety and worry and lack of peace haunts us day and night. We've tried to run from our problems, but it only makes things worse. You see, life can look helpless from our perspective. We need answers, but nothing is on the horizon. We have to turn things around, but nothing is working in our favor. We're praying for that miracle, but nothing is materializing. Now, we may start at this point to act emotionally instead of pausing and considering this next very important aspect. You see, this is where paths diverge and outcomes change. There is the path of the Christian, and there is the path of the person that sets their own course in life without Christ. Now, I want to talk to the Christians first. For those of us that have given our lives to Christ and call him Savior, well, I have great news. I want to remind you of something wonderful. At some point in your life, you realized you didn't want to live this life anymore without God. You confessed all your sins before him. You asked him to be in charge of your life and become your Savior of your sins and Lord of your life. You got saved. You became born again. You have a testimony of the time that that moment occurred, and it changed your life forever. From that moment on, guess what? No longer do you ever have to live this life alone. You see, that was your first and biggest miracle. That's right. The creator of the universe created the standard of who would live forever and who would perish. John 14:6, if we can pull that up. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And if we look at 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. You are a new creature. I'm a new creature. No one else could have forgiven our sins. He not only did the extraordinary, he did the impossible. That's right. The one who formed the earth in his hands and set the planets in place would now charter your path and mine. The one who set in motion the galaxies, the stars in the universe, would be by your side every day to navigate every decision in your life. You see, you put your life, your future, and your existence in the hands of the miracle maker. Do you remember the definition of a miracle? An extraordinary event manifesting God in human affairs. You see, our God is the designer of miracles. But then you say to me, "Well, Jeff, I know. I was there. I got saved. I already know that." And you would be right. And you say, "Jeff, it was a miracle for sure that I got saved. But that was some time ago." Well, I hear you. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But that Jesus saved you from your sins. That is the same God that is with you today. Hebrews 13:8, if we can pull that verse up. Jesus Christ, want you to hear this and remember this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the architect of your perfect plan and your perfect path. There is nothing in your life he isn't aware of before it happens. You see, the key, though, is we have to leave our troubles, our problems, and our needed miracles in his hands. But you say, Jeff, I don't think I deserve his miracles. I pray for them. But I don't feel worthy. I have felt that. I know God can do it, but what I struggle with is, will he do it for me? More great news. You know what I'm thankful for? And you should be too. God's grace and goodness isn't dependent on our perceived worth. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Christ's goodness to us continues despite our shortcomings. Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. And my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you and me. Dear Christian, your God loves you so much. And he wants to do amazing things for you. He wants to shower you with miracles after miracles after miracles. Everett R. Storms, a Canadian school teacher, made an exhaustive study of the promises in 1956. During his 27th reading of the entire Bible, he compiled a list of scripture that found 8,810 promises in the Bible. That's a lot of promises to us. Now, promises are hard to come by and tougher to make. I don't know about you, but when I make a promise to my son, Colin, boy, is he going to hold me accountable. He's tough. I have to think long and hard before I make him a promise, because if I don't come through, I'm in trouble. And I've lost integrity, and he will let me know. But thank God, God is better than me and better than you. He has demonstrated faithfulness time and time again. Look back at your life. If he can demonstrate over 8,000 promises in the Bible, and he's never failed anyone, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, don't you think he can come through? But sometimes it's inevitable. We in our human state lack the ability to see answers happen in our life, and we struggle with that. Well, something to ask ourselves, and this is good for all of us to do. First thing, are we in his will? Are we where he wants us to be and doing what he wants us to do? Are we responding to his voice? Are we listening to his voice? And doing what he asks? When I say hear his voice, I'm not asking you to hear strange and bizarre voices, but what I'm saying is, does God bring you a thought? A moment in quietness where he speaks to you in thought? Or is he talking to you through someone who you value their perspective and their wisdom? Someone close to you? You see, oftentimes God is trying to speak to us, but we are so busy swirling and running and worrying, we don't hear his voice. It reminds me of something us men can be guilty of, missing at times with our wives. So, gents, you might relate to this one. Or maybe when you're young with your moms, the difference between hearing and listening. Okay, hearing is a physiological process that involves perceiving sound through the ears. You merely hear something. Listening is the important one, is active process that requires conscious effort to understand and interpret the sounds with their meaning. While hearing is passive, listening involves engagement and attention to the information being conveyed. Hearing simply is receiving sound, whereas listening is about making sense of what you hear. If we could pull up Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. God will talk to us. We just need to listen to his voice. Psalms 46:10. There's a portion here. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and will be exalted in the earth. Cease striving. We need to stop striving and listen and pause and hear God's voice. Brothers and sisters, don't overlook these moments. They are so important. Honestly, they are wonderful times where God wants to do something that will ultimately benefit, guess who? Us. C.S. Lewis said, hardship often prepares ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. How about that? You see, often the things that we want God to solve or the problem we have, well, that's not even the real miracle that we need. The real miracle is what God does within us as we wait for him to reveal the answer to life's questions. See, things like problems that we have, like the list that I shared above, you wouldn't believe it, but those are easy for God to help us through and to work through. They seem impossible, but they aren't for God. You see, he wants to work within us instead during that journey. He wants to build us beyond what we are today. He wants to heal us. He wants to restore us. He wants to grow us, and he wants us to be more like him. You see, the miracle he wants to produce in our lives will by far outweigh the earthly solution to life's mere problems. After all, how can we begin to understand the depth of God's love and grace and goodness if it's never put to the test? Sometimes we say we want God's plan, but then we think we know what God's plan is, don't we? Oh, I've done it tons of times. Okay, God's going to come through, sweetie, Tay, and this is what he's going to do. I know it. I know this is his path. And then all of a sudden, nothing materializes in that way. And I'm like, I don't get it. How did it just seemed like it was going in this direction. And then we pause and we pray. And then God reveals his path and his plan. And it's amazing. We need not figure out God's work and God's plan. We need to keep the plan with the one who knows what's best for us. There's a great quote that says, faith precedes the miracle. It has ever been so and shall ever be. It was not raining when Noah was commanded to build the ark. There was no visible ram in the thicket when Abraham prepared to sacrifice his son Isaac. First came the test of faith, and then the miracle. Remember that faith and doubt cannot exist in the same mind at the same time, for one will dispel the other. Cast out doubt and cultivate faith. We need to keep the faith with the one who saved us and wants the best for us. Hebrews 13:5. I just want to focus on the latter half. I will never desert you, nor will ever forsake you. That's one of those 8,000 promises. In Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, many of us know this passage, but honestly, it's one of my favorites. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. There's a beautiful poem I recently came across and shared it with Tay. She recognized it from Sylvia's messages. I had never heard it before. But I want you to listen to the words. It's by Russell Kelfler. And it's titled, Wait. Desperately, helplessly, longing, I cried. Quietly, patiently, lovingly, he replied. I pleaded and I wept for a clue to my fate. And the master so gently said, Child, you must wait. Wait? You said wait? My indignant reply. Lord, I need answers. I need to know why. Is your hand shortened, or have you not heard? By faith I have asked, and I am claiming your word. My future and all to which I can relate hangs in the balance, and you tell me wait? I'm needing a yes, a go-ahead sign, or even a no to which I can resign. And the Lord, you have promised that if we believe, we need but ask, and you shall receive. And Lord, I've been asking, and this is my cry. I'm weary of asking. I need a reply. Then quietly, softly, I learned of my fate as my master replied once again, you must wait. So I slumped in my chair, defeated and taut, and grumbled to God, so I'm waiting for what? He seemed then to kneel, and his eyes met with mine, and he tenderly said, I could give you a sign. I could shake the heavens, darken the sun, raise the dead, cause mountains to run. All you see I could give, and pleased you would be. You would have what you want, but you wouldn't know me. You'd not know the depths of my love for each saint. You'd not know the power that I give to the faint. You'd not learn to see through clouds of despair. You'd not learn to trust just by knowing I'm there. You'd not know the joy of resting in me when darkness and silence was all you could see. You would never experience the fullness of love as the peace of my spirit descends like a dove. You would know that I give, I save, for a start, but you'd not know the depth of the beat of my heart. The glow of my comfort late in the night, the faith that I give when you walk without sight, the depth that's beyond getting just what you ask from an infinite God who makes what you have last. And you never would know, should your pain quickly flee, what it means that my grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, your dreams for the loved one or night could come true, but the loss, if you lost what I'm doing in you. So be silent, my child, and in time you will see that the greatest gift is to get to know me. And thought of, may my answer seem terribly late, my most precious answer of all is still wait. Brothers and sisters, trust your Savior. And trust his path for the miracles in your life. Now, we had talked about two different paths we can take. There are those of the Christian and those who've decided to charter their own path. I know because I was there once. But before we leave today, I want to talk to anyone who hasn't given their life to God. who hasn't accepted him as Savior and made him the Lord of their life. You see, when you don't have a personal relationship with God, you have no one else to turn to for miracles. It is extraordinary and oftentimes impossible. You can pray, but you are praying to someone you haven't given your life to and you don't really know. The creator of the universe isn't going to chart your path unless you let him. And life can be very unkind. I want to tell you a story. I had some neighbors that lived near us in our neighborhood for 20 years. A family of five, a husband, a wife, and three kids. These people did not know the Lord. I had invited them to church, but they didn't have time for God. Unfortunately, the husband was struggling to hold a job and kept trying to hold off to the bank when it came to their mortgage. Unfortunately, things got worse and worse, and he couldn't make his payments. Eventually, a crew of men in all black came into their home after foreclosure was communicated, and they had 48 hours to vacate. The family moved everything out of the house and into storage and left the property. Then, without warning, the husband picked up, left his wife and three kids to move back east alone. He deserted his family. A tragic story that no one have ever predicted would happen. But life hits you with things that you truly can't control sometimes. But you see, it doesn't have to be an outcome like that. With Christ, there's hope. Oftentimes, you just aren't looking to the right person. In your darkest days, in your most helpless moments, that's where God sits. But what is he doing? Well, he's waiting. You ask, what is he waiting for? He's waiting for you to relinquish control so he can demonstrate his great love for you. You see, before we do that, our life is our life. We call the shots. We make the decisions, and we have to live with the consequences. We can't say, I'm going to do what I want, and then God, you come in and you fix everything that gets messed up. I'm sorry, friend, it doesn't work that way. God doesn't work that way. His way is simple. We either choose him fully and completely, or we don't. But he loves us so much, he didn't want to take away our free choice. That's why he asks us to choose. You see, he designed us to desire to make our own choices and want our own choices. God knows that. So he says, choose your way or mine. It's up to you. If you don't know him today, he's waiting for you to accept him in his life, in your life. You see, when you give your life to Christ, you are giving everything. Your sins, your mistakes, your decisions, your future, your eternity. And when you do that, you no longer have to worry. God will give you something life can't. Forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And then watch. This is the best part. Watch how God changes your life. Watch how he heals your broken heart. Watch how he instills peace like you've never felt before. Christ came to not only save us from our sins, but to be the Lord of our life and to give us a rich life in him. He's waiting for you today. I was there, my friend. I was a young boy with a torn up family, at the edge of suicide. And God called and said, Jeff, don't do it. I have so much more in store for your life. Boy. Did he come through? I'll end our meeting with this last quick poem from an anonymous author that says, the work of Christ. A canvas wide our lives a work of art, with brushstrokes flawed, a broken, weary heart. But Christ, the artist, sees the form within. A masterpiece he's destined to begin. He takes the cracks, the shadows, and the fears, and paints a beauty, and he makes our vision clear. With gentle hands, he shapes our every line, a tapestry of grace, divinely fine. No need for strength, no need for mortal plan. Just open hands to Christ, the loving man. Let him create, let him design the way, and watch the beauty blossom day by day. So trust the artist, trust the master's call, and let the work of Christ embrace us all. For in his hands, our lives find new release, a vibrant, lasting, and abiding peace. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we thank you for your great love and mercy. Lord, life is so empty without you. We look for peace, we look for joy, but it's fleeting and it's a moment at a time. But when you are in our hearts, in our lives, the radiance of joy and peace is overflowing like a fountain. And we're so grateful for your goodness and your mercy that you loved us enough to die for us. Lord, I just pray as Christians, we look to you and we trust you. Lord, help us to allow you to do a good work in us as we wait for your answers. Do a miracle within our lives. And Lord, for anyone here today that doesn't know you, I ask that they don't wait. Time is something they have no control over. We have no control over. And Lord, you want to bless and give them a rich and eternal life forever. And I ask that they would accept you, that they would come before you, confess their sins, and give their life totally to you. Relinquish all control and give you control of their life and forgive their sins. Lord, I ask that if anyone feels this way today who does not know you, that they talk to someone after the meeting. They can come to us. They can talk to someone they know who knows you, who's a Christian, and let them give their lives to you. Don't wait. There is no guarantee that you have tomorrow. Lord, I thank you and praise you for your word. In your name, amen.